Hey hurdlers, Emily Abadi here, jumping in to bring you a really awesome conversation I had last week, thanks to my friends at Roar. Now, Roar Organic is a 100% natural line of vegan, low-calorie, low-sugar, electrolyte-infused beverages. And last week, we got together to celebrate that, along with their four spokesmodels. We've got Robin Arzon, Peloton's vice president and head instructor. You guys have heard her many a time on the pod. Lauren Kittens Abedini, she's a producer, DJ, and founder of Power. Jacqueline Johnson, the founder and CEO of Create and Cultivate. And last but not least, Diana Nunez, who's a multimedia artist and founder of Koval. Now, if you know anything about these women, you know that they are strong and powerful and influential, to say the least. So as you can imagine, a conversation that involves the four of them is just electrifying. We chat about everything from how they got their starts in their career to different significant moments from their beginnings. We cover aha moments, how they've leveraged the digital community and social media to grow, advice that they'd offer themselves at the start of their career, advice for aspiring entrepreneurs. I mean, literally, this conversation is jam-packed with wisdom and tidbits that just gave me chills as I sat there. I really hope you like it. As always, you know the drill, at Emily Abadi, at Hurdle Podcast. If you have a hurdle moment of your own to share or just want to say hi, you can always reach out to me. It's emily@hurdle.us. And please, when you find yourself saying yes, listening to today's episode, share this gem with a friend. It means the world to me to expand this network. And trust me, this one, well, it's definitely worth sharing. And that's it. With that, let's get to hurdling. As many of you know, sometimes starting out can surely be the hardest part. So we either know nothing about where we're going, we have all of these scattered ideas, we want to do 200 things at once, but can only do maybe three. So my first question to you tonight is, talk to me a little bit about your start, if there's any specific details you remember about getting into the career path that you've chosen right now, and feel free to go in whatever order. We don't have to be anything specific.
Well, my original hustle was as a lawyer. So running for a living now is, or sweating for a living, I should say, is quite different. So for me, it was actually a slow two-year process of leaving a full-time law firm job and recreating myself as an athlete. And the pivotal point for me was I stopped accepting a free pairs of shoes from athletic brands who wanted to work with me. And I started to put a value on my own time. And I started to put a number, a dollar sign, on my ideas. And I know, like, artists and we're, all of us have probably have had that moment where it's like, I'm going to have to accept a no in order for someone to value my yes, and the yes pays the bills. So, yeah, I just stopped accepting free shoes.
And now look at where you are. Jacqueline, what about you?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of starts, right? So for me, at least, I had a corporate job. I was working in New York. I got transferred to Los Angeles, and then I got laid off, which happens. And basically, it was really the start of my entrepreneurial journey. So it was a real low, followed by a very high. But essentially, I started my first company when I was 23. And that company, I made so many mistakes. I didn't know how to run a business. I learned so much and basically started to want to foster community of other women who were going through the same entrepreneurial struggles that I was going through, hence Create and Cultivate, which started as, you know, just 50 women in a room having a conversation, and now is obviously a massive media platform, and we host events like all over the country for thousands of women. So I think it's just about, you know, and we were just talking about this in our mentor session, but really going where the momentum is, you know, and seeing where that momentum's taking you and where it's pulling you, and then paying attention to it and then treating it like a business.
Deanna, what you got?
I would say that I got my start, well, I was in fashion show production for a very long time, and it was a friend of mine that kind of said, hey, I don't think you're utilizing your skill set to the utmost potential. And from there, I kind of did a lot of soul searching and a lot of understanding that I've always had this passion for storytelling, but I wasn't utilizing it in the right industry. And that's how I got my started with art. And from art, it's been able to like connect me with different people and be able to open up that platform of mental health awareness and to be myself and to also have an audience where we can relate and be able to talk about topics that really have a really bad stigma right now. So being able to open up those doors and have that conversation all through art has been, I would say, the gratifying moment, but also the start of many other things.
Lauren.
Oh my God, always saying the first word on a microphone is so scary every time.
Every time I hear my own voice, I'm like, this is what I sound like.
It never gets not
never,
weird.
Never.
For me, I actually got my start. It was my last year of college. So I was in college studying marketing and business, and I had a day job at a club, and I was just DJing like as kind of a hobby, as a passion on the side. And I was doing it for about a year, and then the club was closing. So I had a choice to make whether I wanted to continue on and get a new job. And in nightlife, like clubs open and close all the time. It's really just part of the culture and people kind of bounce around from like one club to the new one that's opening. And I had to make the decision. Am I going to go where there's another secure job, or do I take this moment to, you know, start a new path for real and just kind of go for it? And I gave myself 6 months. I was like, you know what? If I'm not making ends meet and living comfortably by 6 months, which like I had saved up in my mind enough to have like my life okay. And I was like, yeah, if I'm not, you know, comfortable in 6 months, then I'll just get a normal job. And I haven't had a normal job since.
It's so funny. The other day I referred to like not having a full-time job as like my life right now. And someone was like, do you understand you have a full-time job? It's just that you don't go to the same office every day. And that's okay, right? You mentioned that there was a time that you felt like it was an utmost failure. And you said that I felt like I was at the lowest of lows. Oftentimes, as we've learned throughout this journey that we've been on, failures happen to teach us lessons. So I would love it if any of you would like to reflect on maybe one of those times that really felt like the lowest of low lows and how you managed to pull yourself out of the hole.
So when that club closed and I was like, I'm going to do this. I was actually, I was a DJ for an artist and we were about to go on a 2-month tour. So that was my kind of like, okay, I can make this transition. This club is closing and then I'm going to go do this. And 2 weeks before the tour, he dropped me. So I was like, oh, there goes my whole plan. This is a sign from the universe that, like, I shouldn't be doing this. And what am I doing? Oh, my God, how am I going to make, you know, make my life? And where am I going to go now? That was my big jumping off point that I had in mind. And my whole plan just got thrown out the window. So I was really, really scared. And I just knew it could go one of two ways. I'm like, either I just give up and give in and go to my like safety plan B, or I really take this moment and this challenge as a time to see how I function under stress, how I function under pressure, what I can make in a situation where I have nothing, and how I can motivate and inspire myself when I'm kind of faced with like a big obstacle of making a life for myself when I don't have the resources that I thought I had.
I when I was a lawyer, I had the perception of failure and then my own personal failure. So when I left my law firm, the rhetoric and the chatter was like, how, I don't get it. Like, you're leaving to do what? Like, you're going to run, but like, you're not a professional runner and you're going to teach spin class? Like, I don't understand. So there was this perception of failure that it didn't resonate with me. Like, I knew I was going to rock it. But then when I had so many stumbling blocks, I was like, wait, maybe that storytelling is my own. So I had to be able to put myself as the superhero of my story. And the one, so now I am VP of fitness programming and head instructor at Peloton. It's a connected fitness company. We have over 1.4 million members worldwide. But when I had my first audition at a competitor to teach spin, they told me that I just didn't have it. And you know what? I didn't at the time. I sucked. I didn't have the musicality. I could barely pedal and breathe and talk at the same time. But what you will do, what you must do. So I left there saying, nobody's ever going to tell me no to that again. And then I worked my ass off teaching to one person in a spin class at a local studio in Union Square who would take a chance on me. Then I read an article 6 months later about John Foley and Peloton, and I emailed him and I said, our visions are aligned. 4 days later, I had a job. So it was the rejection that ended up being the catalyst for me to actually learn exactly what I needed to learn. So for me, I find such fuel in the perception of failure because, I mean, we just eat that for breakfast and learn from it and keep going and go. You know?
Snaps from Deanna. Deanna, talk to me about failure.
So I had a situation with a client where I did everything. I dotted my I's, I crossed my T's, and I provided the final product to the client. And the client just went off in the sense of, I don't understand why I hired you, your value, like why do people really like pay you this? And I handled it as professional as I could because at the end of the day, I am a brand, I'm a person, and respect and morality to me is like priority. So I told her that's fine, we handled our differences. But what that taught me is that I'm not gonna be everybody's cup of tea. And once I was able to kind of like unlock that kind of mentality, that was a moment that made me feel that I'm gonna express myself however I want to. And those that do support me and do understand where I'm coming from, those are the people that I wanna talk to and collaborate with and work with. Everybody outside of that doesn't matter. So that is what kind of helped me understand failure and accepting it. And besides, no success story is told without a sense of failure. So I love failure. We eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
You can only go up from there. Only go up from there. Jacqueline, any hard stuff you got for me?
Yeah, I mean, I talked a little bit about it, but I would say I think that's exactly right. I mean, as an entrepreneur, like I always say, you'll have your highest highs and your lowest lows, and sometimes that's like within the same hour. You get a good email, you get a bad email, like all day long, you're just kind of dealing with it. And I think the reality is that resiliency is required to be in any of our positions. You have to be able to learn how to take failure, grow from it, learn from it. And I think at this point, it's like I'm professionally failing. Like I just like learn to deal with it and I can just do it and move on from it and kind of grow in those different ways. But I think if you think everyone's just killing it all the time, you're wrong. Like we're all learning and growing and failing.
I love it. And I love like there's so many pull quotes already from this conversation. And we've been sitting here for like 14 minutes maybe. Also, of course, your words are on the walls around us right now. So you have the opportunity here to give this audience and then, of course, the Hurdle audience as well, so much inspiration. When you reflect right now on your career so far, can you recall any specific advice that you've been given, any mantras or words of wisdom that have really empowered you to level up?
I would say a friend of mine told me, build it and they will come. And so a lot of times I'm always asked, how did I get my start or how did brands start to really pick up on me as Colville? And that was because I always represented myself to the fullest. And everything that you see from me is an exact representation of me as an artist and as an individual. And I feel like that is something that we often need to learn is that we need to put ourselves first and then the client will follow.
Something that my mom told me growing up, I grew up in a Cuban and Puerto Rican household. My mother is a Cuban refugee, strong Latina energy. And, you know, she came to the United States really needing to leverage her difference while also acclimating. And she told me, stay weird. And now that little adage is such an anchor to what I do every day because I find if anybody's ever been called extra or too much or a lot or passionate, that's your superpower. That is what you are going to show the world is your difference. And it was realizing that my mom, you know, in a jovial way saying stay weird now is my business plan. So just remember that, like if you've been too much for someone, you're gonna be just right for somebody else. Yep.
What do you got for me? Either of you.
Oh, I'm like, I forget if you said something already.
Give me some info about a mantra or a person that has been extra inspirational for you that has kind of helped you come into your power as an entrepreneur.
A friend of mine, bless you. A friend of mine has been, bless you again, in the industry and creative space for, you know, 15, 20 years. And he just made it so clear to me that you have to be ready to and okay with evolving and really know when to do that. And I think that's so important. It just even in personal lives, to pause and check in with yourself and be like, is what I'm doing right now as a person, as a business, as a brand, bless you, is that authentic to me? Is that fulfilling me? Is that, you know, is this the right point in my path where I should shift? Or am I going to keep going? And I think a lot of times people and brands and, you know, businesses don't realize when it's time to evolve, and they get stuck or they get lost, or their message isn't, it doesn't hit anymore. It doesn't feel right anymore because it's not authentic to who they are anymore. And especially when you're, you know, an artist or doing something creative, you really have to be presenting your most authentic self, and your authentic self is going to change a bunch. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, people are changing their careers. Like you, that moment you went from being a lawyer to this, like that's a huge evolution. And I think everyone needs to really take that second to check in and be like, is this what I want and stand for right now? And if it's not, be okay with changing it.
I got to interview Martha Stewart when back in May at one of our Create and Cultivate conferences. And one of the it was amazing. And I got to ask her, you know, different questions. One of the questions I asked was, have you ever experienced imposter syndrome? And she basically said, I don't even know what that is, and neither should you. And I was like, God, I got to get on Martha's level. Like, it was amazing. She's like, what is that? What? I was like, okay, never mind. Next question. But I love that moment.
I love it, too. I mean, a big theme that we're hearing up here is authenticity, right? And I think a question that I get a lot from my listeners is, you talk about being your authentic self all the time, but how is it that I really home in on who I am? It's like we're so influenced every day, you know, the highlight reel that is Instagram, walking around on the streets, seeing billboards, and just being so flooded with imagery of who maybe we are told we should be. So for someone that is struggling to figure out how to be authentic, what's advice or inspiration would you provide them? Maybe something that worked for you when you were trying to home in on what your values are.
Get off of social media. Turn it off. Turn it off. Stop looking at Instagram. Stop being on Pinterest. Stop everything and take a moment for yourself to really check in. Because, and that's something that, like, I really learned this from some of my musician friends. When they're getting ready to make a new album, they don't listen to any music. They don't listen to anything because they don't want to be influenced by anything. They want to really make something that's true to them in that moment and sounds that resonate with them. And I think as people, like, it's so easy to just absorb what's around us. And yeah, we're all, you know, picking and choosing from things that we like and that makes us who we are. But I think when we're so, like, just bombarded with content all the time and seeing, like, what's popular, what's getting the most engagement, and, like, all these things we're thinking, it's so dangerous and it's so easy to drift away from who you are. And you have to make, like, a concerted effort to flex the muscle that is, like, your core so that you know what you stand for, what you like, what you love, what you want people to think of when they see you, what you want them to feel when they walk away after speaking to you, whatever. Like, it's so important to just keep that tuned in.
Someone, to piggyback on that, someone once told me, you know, racehorses race with blinders for a reason. And I thought that was so interesting. So if you're building a business, if you're, you know, want to be a content creator, whatever you're doing, is like, you have to focus on what you're doing. Stop looking at everyone else, like the highlight reel that we're talking about. But at least for me, I always go back to the mission. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, our mission at Create and Cultivate is to entertain, enlighten, and inspire women to go out and create and cultivate the career of their dreams. If we get a really amazing offer from a company and I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. Wait, does that tie back to that mission? You have to always go back to it. And that's personally and professionally, right? Like, what do you stand for? And, like, you can get all these shiny, amazing objects thrown in your face, but if you just tie it back to that, does it hit those three things for us? And we say no.
Yeah, I love that. I developed
a hustler's oath when I was leaving my law firm. And I wrote on a post-it note, do epic shit, and I put it on a mirror, and that became my North Star. And I didn't know how I was going to do it, but it had to be epic. And that is how I filled my days, and that is what informed my dreams. And dream is a verb, but you only know where to go with that if you have a mission statement. And so kind of that hustler's oath is identifying what you want more than you fear it. What do you want more than the fear? And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that if you step into your body, you will find your voice. If you step into your physical power, for me, it was a pair of running shoes, running through trauma and running through all kinds of stuff. I found the courage and the confidence knowing that I will live through any discomfort and I will speak my truth even when my voice shakes. So I would say, write down your hustler's oath. And then move. Movement is fertilizer for the brain. And baby, it makes a powerful, powerful statement.
How am I even supposed to like follow up?
We're going
that?
Running after this.
I'm ready when you're ready. I would just say, put the fun back into it. Like, be a kid. Like, we live in a society where it just feels so claustrophobic and so stuffy that we often just forget that the fun of our craft and the love of our craft and what happens when you just get lost in it and you enjoy yourself. I feel like that's helped me along the way of trying to bring a story and being my true self and bring a voice into the social platform is that I'm just having fun and I'm doing whatever makes me happy. I get lost in my craft. And even though I'm 29, I still feel like I'm a kid. And that's because I keep forefront and love and craft at the forefront of everything that I do.
We also, I mean, you guys just mentioned times that you leaned away from social media, but there is an undeniable power that comes with the opportunity to connect with so many people, a lot of them like-minded, especially when they're seeking you out. So are there any highlights or instances that you want to rap about when it comes to, you know, the benefits of cultivating such a beautiful community, either on your personal feed or with your business?
Honestly, through art, being able to connect with somebody on a level that where we don't have to say much. Like a lot of times I get people that reach out to me and they tell me how my art has impacted them, especially in the mental health space. That to me is just the biggest takeaway, to know that my space is safe and you're welcomed into it and we're able to have this conversation that oftentimes gets turned away and not wanting to be talked about. I think opening up that platform and being able to share those intimate experiences and moments with people that I don't even know is the biggest gratifying feeling that I've had so far.
I mean, Jacqueline, I think of you, like, your entire mission is creating conversations. So, like, how does social media thread into the live event experience? Is it an extension of the conversation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Robin's taking my job.
I know. I love it. I'm here for it.
I'm going to head out.
Yeah. But I'm genuinely curious.
But please.
I love it. So it's really amazing because I always say, like, I have the best job in the world because, like, after conferences and things like that, I get letters, like true letters, like physical letters from people about their experiences and what they've learned from Create and Cultivate. So a good example is, you know, we go out, we do panels, we have talks, we have things like that. But, like, you know, I get to meet people, but I don't get to see the after effects. And I met this girl. She came to another one of our events and she said, I went to the Atlanta Create and Cultivate conference. I heard someone speak. I heard them speak about negotiating salaries. She's like, and I went into my work on Monday and negotiated my salary, got the raise, did all the talking points. And, like, now I'm, like, executive producer at this, like, local news station. And I was like, boom, there it is. Like, and it's that story over and over and over again. But it takes that confidence. It takes that connection. It takes that moment to say, I can do this on a micro level, you know, and then on the macro level, social media, you know, reaching hundreds of thousands of people. But what does that actually mean? And it's like those little stories that connect people that you start seeing these results. And that's what I always say is, like, you know, the whole point of Create and Cultivate is community, right? At the end of the day, it's women helping women. It's women supporting women, whether it's you're getting that raise, whether you're raising $10 million, whatever it is. It's women just saying, one, you can do this, or hey, here's $10 million, right? It's all the different little micro actions that make the larger movement.
I love the idea of stitching the stories together because for Peloton, we film from our studios in New York City, but we broadcast to bikes and our app and treadmills all over the world. So seeing member testimonies of things, of their aha moments, those micro moments, I mean, that is confidence that you cannot purchase. Like, we are not going to Amazon Prime a new life and confidence and Beyonce level swagger. We got to earn that shit. And I see it little by little every day, just chipping away at that inner critic via the method, you know, the entry point being a spin class or, you know, a yoga class or a meditation moment. And the testimonies that we see on social media are almost, that engagement is, I find it an honor. You know, it doesn't always scale. You can't always respond to every comment. You can't always, you know, respond to every DM, but it is an honor to be part of that conversation, and the ecosystem that we've created, and I'm sure you get, you feel the same, is an absolute honor. And I do engage in response in social media with a responsibility to hold space, to create a container for those conversations to maintain, to continue, and to elevate.
I'm just like, going after you is intimidating, everything you say. Pass. But one thing for me is, like, across the board, just when it comes to my brand and personality and everything, we've talked a lot about just being authentic and being ourselves. And I think there's such a responsibility when you have a voice and a platform, especially on social media, to do that. And, you know, I have my music career and all that stuff that I share, and I have like a charity where I teach women how to DJ and all these things. But one thing that has stood out the most for me, especially, was this question about social media? Because I'm forgetting now.
You're doing great. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're talking about how it's been a positive.
Okay, cool.
Thing
yes.
For you.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. But one thing that I do is, like, I'm very out and open about being an LGBT woman of color. And I think especially, like, also with my job, like, I'm a DJ and a producer, and that's definitely like a super duper misogynistic male dominated space. So I feel like I have such a responsibility to be like, hey, very loudly, I am like this person with these, you know, identity facets that doesn't really exist, like that doesn't really exist as much and in this space. So I try to really make conversations with people that care to listen about how they can really feel empowered in who they are if they're maybe their identity isn't something that they see often represented. So one thing that I do like every year on Coming Out Day is I just open up my DMs and I'm like, to anybody who needs to come out and they don't feel like they have a safe space to do that, I'm listening, I'm here. And, you know, every year, just like hundreds of people coming out with crazy stories from all over the world. And they're just like, I'm terrified to tell my family, or like, you know, some story. And they just like needed to tell somebody. And to be able to have that space and you know, be that for somebody and hear their stories and be trusted with those things is like so overwhelming for me. So I think having stuff like that and knowing that just being myself unapologetically can actually help people feel okay being themselves is just like, it makes all the trolly comments and frustration of things online really worth it.
Wow. First of all, like, how beautiful is it that you do that? A couple buzzwords up here: imposter syndrome, inner critic. I once sat down with Robin and she said something to me that stuck, which was, do you speak to yourself like you speak to a loved one? And it's like, we are the person that talks to ourselves the most in any given day. So my question for you guys is, when, of course, like, we are being so hard on ourselves as we do, how is it that you pivot that conversation? How do you take those negatives that seep in no matter what, no matter how many positive affirmations we tell ourselves every day, how do we spin that into being a positive and then take that frustration and make it something positive and something productive?
Well, the mirror back there actually has my tactic. So there's an inscription on that mirror back there that says, I am a bad bitch. Because I
this
literally...
This episode is explicit. Every time I sit down with Robin,
sorry, yeah,
it's an E in the iTunes
store. It's like a big explicit. Not sorry. So, you know, that is my tactic. Literally, when I was petrified of racing ultra marathons and feeling like I needed to show up as myself. And I never ran track and I was allergic to, you know, exercise my entire life. I would literally forge notes to get out of gym class, totally illegal, don't do that, on my mom's like medical pad. But when I was petrified before race day for ultra marathons, I would look myself in the mirror and bang on my chest and tell myself I was a bad bitch until I believed it. And sometimes you just have to get into that frame of mind. And for me, I was able to kind of get outside of myself for long enough to feel like, what would the most optimal version of you say to you right now? And then I always ended up at the same question. Why not me? Like, why not me? Why not you? So that is my tactic.
I had a pretty hard time years back, maybe a few years ago, where I really believed all the things that I was saying to myself that were not good, and had so many people around me who were just like putting me down and made me feel like I wasn't good enough. And I really started to believe it. And I knew I had to pull myself out of it. And I knew it was my responsibility to get out of my own way. So somebody told me an exercise to do, and they said to write for 10 minutes, write positive affirmations about yourself. For 10 minutes, write nice things about yourself. And starting that 10 minutes was so hard. That was the hardest and like most emotional thing, to be like, oh my God, I can't write about myself for 10 minutes. There's not that many good things. Like, there's not that many. That's a lot of writing to do. And so I would get like crazy anxiety before I started, because I just felt like I couldn't even do that. And then I started trying and I went for it. And at first it was hard because I would be really thinking about it. And then it started being so easy. I started just going, and I would even repeat things. I would write the same thing over and over and over and over, because I felt like I needed to read that and write it and feel it and embody that. And it became so easy after just doing it over and over and over. And I think it's, you know, our brains are like computers, and sometimes they get programmed to think certain ways and feel certain things. And whether that's from trauma or our own insecurities, it's just reprogramming. So for me, reprogramming was writing it. For some people, it's saying it in the mirror. For some people, it's meditation. It's like, there's so many different ways of doing that. But that for me really changed things. And I felt so much stronger, and I felt such a huge shift in my self-worth that after that, it was like anytime somebody would say something, if I would read a mean comment or have somebody in the industry say something that was like discouraging for me, it was literally laughable then. I was like, you're wrong.
I want to pivot for just a second and ask you a follow-up then, and this can anyone really can answer this, but when we have those tough days, and maybe there's a string of them, maybe it's a week, maybe it's a few weeks, how do you go about handling that when you have a platform? Have you had times where you're vocal about shit being hard? Have you had times where you felt like you couldn't be because people are relying on you for a source of strength? I'm just curious to know how you've handled that in a way that you feel has been helpful maybe for your audience, or maybe not at all.
I think for me at least, like, I'm definitely vocal when I'm going through a tough time or when I'm feeling like a little down or lost or confused, or like I need, it's time to evolve. How am I going to evolve? I don't know. And like all these processes, and I feel like it's such a humanizing thing, and it's helpful for people, because social media is such a highlight reel. You don't see that. You don't see the hard days. And for people to see that, it's more empowering, because those other people are like, man, I have hard days too. And like, if this person can go through a hard day and still, you know, rise up and have that whatever inspiration or control over themselves or focus, like, I can do that too. It doesn't have to be all like butterflies and smiles forever.
Jacqueline, you mentioned having 30 plus employees now.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Do you have hard days?
I'm never, guys. It's so easy. No, I you know, I, back to your original question, I was saying, like, you know, when you're the boss, no one tells you good job, right? Like, you have to be the one motivating. You have to be the one, like, getting everyone on the same page, getting everyone excited about stuff. So that's really, you know, it is lonely at the top. Like, that's a very real thing. And I think at the end of the day, I always say you have to be your biggest hype woman, but also your toughest critic, because that's what will push you forward. So you have to be hard on yourself at the right times, and then easy on yourself at the right times as well. Because no one at the end of the day is as invested as you, is going to care as much as you about your business or your baby or whatever it is. And you need to be the one on the those days when everyone else is down and not feeling it or whatever it is, to be like, we got this, we got this. And that might be tough and you might be lying, but that's okay. And I think just making that space for yourself to be okay with that. Like, you know, I have my own little like boss support group. We have like our own little like message where we're like, how would you handle this? What would you do with this? And you need that, because it truly is like, you know, it can be really lonely at the top.
For sure, for sure. You have anything to add, either of you?
I mean, my recipe is very simple. I grew up boxing. My father, like, he would tell me if I'm angry, box. And so I did a lot of boxing, but then I broke my wrist, and then that went out the window due to an accident, not boxing.
I was like, dang, what happened?
What a punch.
Yeah. I couldn't box anymore. So I started running. I would do a lot of running. I'm not the type to meditate because it's my mind and I, we have a really weird relationship. So I couldn't meditate. So running became a meditation to me. And then I can't run all the time. So right now my recipe for getting out of those moments of like really bad angst is I blast Paramore and I have a karaoke session until I feel like I can't sing anymore. And then I feel better.
Is there any new Paramore music from the last like 8 to 10 years?
I'm still listening to the Riot album.
The one from 8 to 10 years ago. If there is anything new, we don't want to know about it.
Yeah, we ain't talking about that.
I respect that. That's cool. Okay, so then let's talk about something a little bit more recent, like the last 4 years. What would you guys say has been something that has felt really monumental for you within the last 4 or so? I'll allow you to, you know, flex on the time parameters here. But a recent success that has felt very personally fulfilling, small or big. It doesn't need to be like...
I'll start on this one. So when I first started Create and Cultivate, I started a whiteboard list of all the brands I wanted to work with and all the like goals I wanted to accomplish. And like on it was having a line at Target. And I was like, that'll never happen. It's fine. We just launched a line at Target last month. Hey. So exciting. It's a office supplies line. It was a dream come true. We have end caps in Target. I took so many selfies. But it's things like that. I wrote it down. I never thought in a million years. Like, you know, who am I? I'm some random girl from Florida who had zero connections to anyone in New York City who moved here on a whim. And like, you just have to think about that. Like, if I can do it, you guys can do it. You just have to write it down, put it out in the universe. And then, you know, we were saying, I was like, stop asking what if, ask what's next. Love it. I love this
front
row.
Success.
I got to play Coachella on like a main stage.
Boom.
Which was so cool. I was like, I never thought I would end up there. And I was like, oh my God, I'm here. And it was the same day as Beyonce.
Put that even better. Highlight finger.
So
up.
You opened for Beyonce. That's
technically
true.
Yes. Technically yes.
Robin, talk to me about success.
You know, I'm really grateful that I've had amazing brand partnerships. I'm so grateful for my position at Peloton. I'm on the rocket ship, and we're also just like still refueling the rocket ship while it's in motion, you know? So the hustle's real and I love it. But one of my biggest, most recent successes is actually quite personal. I took 3 weeks over the summer to freeze embryos with my husband. And because my job is so physical and I am pretty much a professional athlete, you know, a paid to sweat, I was nervous about having that conversation with Peloton. I was nervous about being public with that for my audience. That's something quite personal. And instead, I was super public with it. Of course, my husband, who's sitting in the front row in a handsome blue suit, was super supportive. And I didn't know how that process was going to go. I didn't know how it would affect me personally and physically. And it just so happens that after that three-week period, we had a really successful egg retrieval. And my first class back was one of the most popular Peloton rides of all time, which was a Lizzo theme ride. And I was like, yes, I did take that DNA test. I'm good. So that was a very personal accomplishment that, like, because I am the brand and my physicality is the art, I didn't know how it was going to go. And thankfully it went well.
So not to put her on blast, I will say that despite like all the partnerships that I've had, I will say the most successful moment, like the most monumental moment, is having a manager. Because as a creative, for the past 4 years, I was doing all the admin, the negotiations, the contracts, the back and forth. And then on top of that, I had to deliver the creative that they were asking for. And a long time, I did that for a long time, but having someone in your corner, someone that you feel like you can be yourself with and be able to expand opportunities and have someone that you can be like, yo, this is going down, but they have your back 110%, I felt like that was such a proud moment for me, because whatever happens next, I know that I'm in good hands.
What would you say is another great piece of advice or wisdom that you would love to offer other strong women, female entrepreneurs?
I will say, you know, don't ask to pick people's brain. It's annoying and nobody has time for it. So instead, be of service, like offer value, even if you don't know what it is. Like when I was a lawyer, I did so much pro bono work for now people who are in the industry, you know, creatives and just editors at magazines. Like I was just like, how can I help you? I have this time and I know I have a legal brain. What do you need? And oftentimes they didn't even need anything, but it was the offering of value that precipitated valuable conversations. So I will say, let's stop the can I pick your brain over coffee, because nobody wants to receive that. Like, we barely want to receive that from our friends. So you probably aren't gonna get a good audience when it's a total stranger. So think, okay, I admire this person, I respect this person, they have knowledge, they have there's a reason you're reaching out. So how can you look at the other side of that and say, what can I provide of value? Because we all have value to add. You just have to figure out what's the right in.
And it's like finding what's important to the people that you're hoping to connect with, right? I sat down with a man by the name of Dee Murthy, and he is an owner of 5-4 Group in LA. And he has a run club with one of his brands, and they meet every Saturday out of right near where Cycle House is in West Hollywood. And he says, when people want to speak with me, they can come to Run Club. I will be there. You want my time, you can run with me. And that's how he does it. And I think it's like a brilliant way to, like, if you're interested in this person, like, find a way to connect with them that gets you on their level. What other advice do we got?
I think being a creative and not having management or representation is something that a lot of people deal with when starting out. You're in it alone, and especially being a woman, like we all know, negotiating as a woman is a whole challenge in itself. So one thing that I did, and like I host these DJ workshops for women, and we also talk about this because this is a huge thing in that business, is fake the manager. Be a fake manager. I made a separate email. Her name was Denise. Denise was a bitch. Denise got me paid. Denise got me flights taken care of, you know, and the funniest thing is my first agent, finally, like when I first got representation, her name was Denise. Swear to God. But really having somebody else to be a buffer, someone else to be the bad guy, someone else to be the bitch is so helpful, because then you're not worrying about like, oh my God, are they going to like me? Are they my worth? Like, how do I demand like my value to this person who doesn't know me when I'm starting out? And you know, that I'm in a field that's not like, here's my degree for this job, pay me for it. So having somebody else to kind of be that front for you is so helpful. And also you can make a Google Voice phone number for your fake manager.
And for yourself, like never give out your cell phone information. Yeah. That was a strong
I learned that the hard
curve.
Way too.
Yeah. Google Voice is magic. Magic. Jacqueline, what advice do you got for me?
Similar to this, but like never take the first offer. You know, always negotiate your worth. You might not get it. That's okay. Just never take the first offer. And I would also say, you know, Robin's legal brain, but get it in writing. Be really strategic. Take your creativity seriously. You know, I think there were so many things at my first company when I was first starting out that I was just so excited that someone wanted to work with me. I'm like, yeah. Like, okay, we'll get the contract, but like, let's get going. Like, I'm so excited, and got burned so many times. And in retrospect, you know, get a good lawyer, get a good friend who does pro bono. But, you know, I think it's so, so important. I have people email me all the time, like, can I see your contracts? I'm like, I got this big deal. I'm happy to share it. Spread the wealth. Like, pay it forward. It always comes back around to you. But I think it's so important to take your creativity seriously. And, you know, never take the first offer.
I would say, like, from a freelance perspective, if you're deciding to make that leap into freelance, create, like, a 6-month to, like, 12-month plan of where you save a certain amount of money, so that way you're able to focus on what you're working on versus to like, how am I gonna get the next check? Because if you're focusing on the next check, then you're gonna find yourself doing jobs that don't align with you. You don't love it, it's gonna make you miserable. So I would say, like, create a plan from 6 to 12 months where you save a certain amount of money, and that way you can focus on your craft and take it from there.
I love that. Okay, well, the best thing about what we're doing up here tonight is just watching you all nod your heads at each other. Like, yes, yes, exactly. So I love that, which is pretty symbolic and indicative that you guys are not only like-minded, but a good representation of the brand that you've chosen to work with. So I'd love to just hear a little bit about what is it that you feel so passionate about when it comes to Roar, when it comes to this brand, and how does this partnership really showcase you as an individual?
Well, I mean, as an athlete, this is the kind of product that I seek out. And I've had a lot of, not to be like, but yeah, brands have approached me, but the messaging didn't align. So for me, the name says it all, because I do believe that I'm here on this planet to encourage people to roar louder. So I was like, oh, cute. Okay, that works. So I think the message behind what the brand is trying to unlock directly correlates to how I live my life, and that makes me really proud.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, speaking of authenticity, I mean, we're all here with you today, you know, this amazing crew of women. You know, I think they are walking the walk and talking the talk, which I think a lot of brands try to play in these arenas and they just fail because it's not authentic to who they are. And I think the messaging is so on point in terms of building confidence, finding your roar, and it's so timely. But they also brought together a group of women who, you know, I've been lucky enough to work with in a lot of ways. Like, I've been following you forever. Like, she's been on our Crane Cultivate 100 list. We're doing stuff with you. So it's just like, it felt so authentic to myself and obviously what we're doing at Create and Cultivate.
I mean, it's good. Like, Roar Organic is really good. I've had every flavor. My fridge is like stocked to the max with Roar, but it's good for my body. And I'm so conscious of what I put in my body. And that, because what we put in our body affects our mental health and all that. So for me, it was because the product was great, but also the synergy of the team was amazing. Like, the moment I walked on set, they were just so thrilled and so positive and loving and accepting that I just felt right at home. And I felt like the message that they're trying to drive home feels really true and authentic, and it's here and it's in this room right now. And that's something that I've always wanted to be able to represent.
I'm just going to repeat the same thing, because I feel like everyone's saying this is such a like authentic thing to have this sort of campaign that's really like focused on empowering women. And you know, like, it's not just using a buzzword. I feel like so many brands do that and they're just like, oh, feminism, women. Mm. And it's like, all right, sure. But like, what are you really doing? And like, for Roar to really map that out, and I'm like, okay, how can we make an impact? How can we really like have these conversations? I thought that was incredible. Also, just working in nightlife and traveling so much, like, it's nice to have a drink and like an item that is much healthier and not just like alcohol all the time. You know, like, it's nice to have something else and be like, oh, that's good. Okay, cool. Or maybe I can mix it with my tequila and it's fine. It'll balance it out. But yeah, it's nice to have something that just like makes sense and that you feel really comfortable representing yourself with, like, across the board and all facets. And I like the name. It's cute.
I love what I see. Like, there's such a consistent message that feeling good should not be a luxury, that fueling well and organically should not be a luxury. And the all of our entry points to sitting here are so different. But the through line is that we are trying to send the message that, like, we don't have to sacrifice how we feel for the products we use and the brand partnerships that we dive into. So, yeah.
I love that. I mean, obviously, it's an exciting time for Roar. One of my favorite questions that anyone has ever asked me when I was catching up with them, it was Kirsty Godso. She's a Nike master trainer. And she looked at me and she said, "What excites you right now?" And she was so serious, like just the way that she looked at me. And I was like, wow, I'm going to ask everyone I sit down with that question for the rest of my life. So ladies, what excites you right now? Tell me.
My friendships. Like, I love my friends, and I love being able to have that safe space where I can just be myself. I feel like that really, like, drives me. So I would see my friends.
I say the election next year. Let's do this.
Yes. That's a little scary.
I think right now for me, just like evolution and the opportunity to shift, because I feel like I'm kind of in this place where I'm like in that re-strategize, what do I really want to do? What's, you know, all this tuning in stuff I was talking about, like I'm in that space right now. And it's so exciting to be like, what's next? Where am I going now?
You know, what excites me most right now is seeing one person revolutions spark every day. I see people start to love themselves every day, and I love myself is a one woman revolution. So that's what excites me the most, because there are ways that we're engaging in social media, in these communities, at Peloton, and it's like the finger snap is turning into a drum beat, and I'm here for it.
I dig it. Okay, so the way that I wind down my podcast, the way that we're gonna wind down tonight, we started tonight by talking about what I affectionately call on the pod hurdle moments, those really tough times you have oftentimes when you're starting something big, right? So right now you have the opportunity to offer your younger self going through these hurdle moments one piece of advice looking back on it right now. What advice would you give yourself?
Get out of your own way. I talked myself out of so many things because I felt like I couldn't do it. I wasn't good enough. I would fail. And I just put off the inevitable. I'd eventually do it. I just wasted so much damn time talking myself down. So just like get over it and take the jump and do the thing. And if you fail, it's fine, because you're either going to like you're going to land somewhere. So at least figure out where the hell you're going to land. But like you're not going to go anywhere if you're just standing still. So
I would tell her that pain becomes power.
I would say start by...
We'll preach then.
Deanna's like, Jacqueline, you take this next.
I was like, well, I was just going to say start by starting. I mean, I think, you know, everyone talks a lot about doing stuff, but really you can have a good idea. Doesn't matter unless you execute on it.
I mean, after... Wow, that was very... Wow. I would say, I don't know if you guys read Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert, but she said ruin is the road to transformation. And that's what I would tell my younger self, that you're going to go through the really nitty gritty, but I promise you at the end of it, it's going to be well worth it.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your time again at Hurdle Podcast. Find it in the iTunes store. I am Emily Abadi, another hurdle conquered.